This is the Dumont Television Network.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Radio Dan Show with me, your host, Dan Delgado.
Radio Dan is not the brightest dude out there. I agree with you on that.
Himself look like Radio Dan, and they can tell you what Radio Dan is going to say the next show because they already know what Radio Dan is going to say because they know the information. They know the information what Radio Dan is going to say before he says it.
I wanted to talk to Radio Dan, but he doesn't accept phone calls. I want to complain about that, first of all. So is it a radio show he wants to have or a chat room stuff? Because he spends way too much time entertaining people on the chat room than he does talking on the radio.
Next question to you. Do you know Radio Dan?
Radio Dan is right.
Radio Dan, he needs to get educated.
Oh, no. It was the Radio Dan Show. It's like one of the most popular radio shows ever.
Everybody, all right, try to keep it calm. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome. It is time once again for the Radio Dan Show. My name is Dan Delgado. I am your host, and for the next hour or so, me and you will be getting down to the get down, that is, movies and television and any other life-altering issues that happen to float through my pretty little head. I do this show 5 nights a week. I do it live. I do it Sunday to Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is, of course, done at the home of the Radio Dan Show, which you should know by now. Do it with me. Say it all together. It's Talk Radio X. Yeah, good job, everybody. Good job. Yeah. Talk Radio X, home of Talk Radio Excellence, like me and the other guys that are on the station. Yeah. That stuff, too. Now, I do go ahead and I give a little, not mandatory, but generosity, you know, to the other stations that broadcast this show. Basically, I'm trying to prove to everybody what a swell guy I am. It's one of my ways that I'm going to get into heaven. So I go ahead and I acknowledge, yes, other stations that play this program, such as the All Digital Radio Network, such as KJAG Radio, such as No Agenda, 1500 AM, that's over in Cahoga Falls. That's in Ohio. And where else are we? How about the Detour Talk in Knoxville, Tennessee? And last but not least, SoFlow Radio right here in beautiful, fantabulous South Florida, where it was nice and misty rainy today, which is one of my favorite kinds of days, by the way. I like the misty rain. I like any kind of rain, to be honest. But the misty rain, oh, it's lovely. So let's see, what do we got tonight? Tonight, it's a Wednesday night, which is the open night on the show. So if you wanted to call in and talk about movies and television or whatever it is that you wanted to talk about, tonight might be the night that you would look to do such a thing. Now, of course, you call in any night of the week that you want to. You want to dial 661-349-TALK. Hey, man, I ain't going to stop you. That's right. It's 661-349-8255. You dial that number. I answer the phone. We get to chit-chat a little bit. It's a very, very exciting thing that happens here. Mm-hmm. That's right. Happens live. No call screener. You get right on the air. Maybe that's not such a good idea, by the way. Whose idea is that, by the way? Whose idea is no call screener on this station? Ah, it's just a nickel and dime outfit here. Anyway, moving on, I should also tell you about how you could get in touch via Skype. That's right, if you have a Skype ID, well, guess what? So do I. So why not hook up with me that way? Mm-hmm. Look for the ID that I'm using. It happens to be Talk Radio X, which is all pushed together. It's all one word. It's all there right for you. Now, you go ahead, you find me on there, you call in, and you'll have nice audio, in theory. In theory, because we might be echoing, I don't know. Also, on top of that, if you don't want to actually speak to me, but you want to say nasty things about me, and you want me to see them and just kind of hurt my feelings, well, here's what you can do. You can go ahead and head on over to our chat room. Go to talkradiox.com, hit the TRX chat button, and put yourself right on in there. That's right. You can do it, my friends. Talkradiox.com, TRX chat button. Make up some crazy handle and hang out. We got a couple of people in there tonight. It's Spook Central. It's me, 6501. It's Antibert. It's Greg Blum. And it's a bunch of bots. Oh, I'm sorry. Sean O'Reilly, BR, has joined the chat room as well to help fill things out. I do appreciate that, Mr. O'Reilly. Mr. O'Reilly, I know Sean O'Reilly is a Brazilian fella, and yet he's got the name Sean O'Reilly. I don't really want to, I'm not going to pretend that I understand that. Okay. So moving on from Sean O'Reilly, and moving on from all that other gobbledygook, right? I'm going to start the program. And, you know, I don't know. Does anybody want me to do sad news? Thinking about not doing it as often. Like, there are three people who qualify for sad news today. Andrew Saris was an influential movie critic who championed the importance of directors in filmmaking. He died. He was 83 from complications of a stomach virus. That's a bummer. He was known for his work in The Village Voice in the 60s and 70s. And yet he was married to a woman. Imagine that. Anyway, this guy has passed away. He deserves mention, right? I would say so, if he championed the auteur theory. Sure, why not? Richard Lynch is also no longer with us. He was played mainly villains in a career that spanned 40 years. You got to see him in such things as, well, The Sword and the Sorcerer, Scarecrow, The Ninth Configuration, Little Nikita, oh, and Bad Dreams. All right. Plus, he was all over television. A-Team. Really, what more do you need? Do you have anything else? There's other shows, but once I hit A-Team, I think I'm just going to stop because it doesn't get much better. If I had appeared on the A-Team, I probably would tell you, yeah, when you do my obituary, just end on the A-Team. Don't mention Battlestar Galactica. Just stay right there. So that's what I'm going to do. So anyway, he's gone as well. And also Susan Tyrell has passed away. She actually was nominated for an Oscar, so I probably should toss her out there. She was nominated for an Oscar for Fat City in 1972. It's a John Huston movie. She was 67, and she died June 16th, but I don't understand. These things just don't eke out, I guess. They take their time, because here it is. It's, what, June 19th? That's today? Today's the 19th? Is today the 19th, or is it today the 20th? I don't even know anymore. Today's the 20th? Yeah. So she dies 4 days ago. But it's just breaking today. Anyway, she was in a bunch of movies. She was in Crybaby, Big Top Pee Wee, Forbidden Zone, Powder, I Never Promised You a Rose Garden. I always enjoy when a movie title is also double. It could double as a sentence, as a complete sentence. Islands in the Stream. Really? That's a movie? Islands in the Stream? Tell me that's not a movie that was based on the Kenny Rogers, Dolly Parton duet. Please. I am not. Now I need to know what this Islands in the Stream is. Maybe that's what it is. It's a TV movie. And it was based on the song. And it starred Kenny and Dolly as star-crossed lovers who meet on an island. Okay, no, actually, it's a movie from 1977. That would predate that crappy song. Oh, it starred George C. Scott. George C. Scott, and it looks like it was probably not that very exciting. It looks that way. An isolated sculptor is visited by his three sons just before the start of World War II. Oh, we're in deep waters here, my friends. That's what's going on here. Islands in the Stream. All right. So there you have it. We got dead people, and I've already done them. I've already gotten them over and out of the way, and I've given them their recognition. But I don't want to dwell on it too much because it just brings everybody down. So instead, how about doing something a little more chipper? How about doing something a little more cheerful? How about something like let's try this. And now it's time for Today in Movie History. Woo! Okay, so today in movie history, I should have one of those things where, you know, it's the whatever that news sound is. You know, I don't know. It's a wire that's going, or it sounds like a copy that's always going. Today, Dateline, June 20th, 2006. Right? First Blu-ray movies were released June 20th, 2006. Ah, the Blu-ray, which has revolutionized everything. Boy, oh boy. 6 whole years ago, the Blu-ray was unleashed unto us and really kind of ruined things for everybody who was banking on that whole HD DVD. Anybody remember that we had that competition that went on for, what, a year or so? HD DVD hanging in there for about a year or two. Blu-rays had the blue, of course, and the HD DVDs, they had the red across the top. Yeah, but then Blu-ray won out, and HD DVD started to hang out with Betamax and sat on the sidelines and, you know, was all bummed. Mm-hmm. What were the first Blu-ray releases? Well, if we're going to have a brand new format, if we're going to find a new high-definition, super spectacular way to release movies, I'll tell you what. That inaugural class had better have some class. So what do we have? We've got, well, 50 First Dates, an Adam Sandler classic, The Fifth Element, Hitch, House of Flying Daggers, Underworld Evolution, Triple X, and The Terminator. Well, hey, all right. With the exception of The Terminator, everything else was a Sony title, i.e. Columbia Pictures, for those of you who get confused when you see Sony pop up. And really, you know, Sony was one of the developers of Blu-ray, so that makes perfect sense. In fact, Sony's decision to turn the PlayStation 3 into a Blu-ray player was cited as one of the reasons that Blu-ray wins, that Blu-ray rules and HD DVD drools. But really, I think we all know the reason that Blu-ray won out. It's just a cooler name. Blu-ray. Oh, man, I'm watching that on Blu-ray. Oh, wow, that sounds cool. Does it have a Blu-ray that reads the disc? I have no idea. And honestly, HD DVD, it's just way too clunky. You got too many Ds in there, and two of them are in a row. HD DVD. Yeah, nobody wants to say that. Hey, have you got this on HD DVD? Or, hey, have you got this on Blu-ray? And it's such a difference right there. Yeah. Sorry about that. Sorry, Tennessee. Also, on this date, June 20th, 1975, the movie Jaws opens. How do you like that? It opens, and June 21st, 1975, has already made $1 billion. The first summer movie, as they like to call Jaws. Oh, it's the first summer movie, that Jaws, because it opened in June, and it played all summer long. Good old Jaws. Honestly, I really have nothing bad to say about Jaws. Fantastic, wonderful film. I think it's just, yeah. How old is it now? 37. Jaws turns 37, so happy birthday to you, Jaws. Gonna need a bigger boat. How many great lines can you think of from the movie Jaws? You can probably think of a lot. I'm not great on movie quotes. I'm not the greatest, you know, unless it's a movie I really, really like. But I think Jaws is one where you could just, you know, you could do it all night long. This is not a boating accident. It was not Coral Reef. And it was not Jack the Ripper. And he puts the water on his face and he looks up dramatically. It's a shark. What'd you say, Richard Dreyfuss? It was a shark. Oh, no. Oh, man. I tell you, I saw Jaws for the first time, the movie of the week, and it's like 1987, so I'm 12 or 13 years old, and I was about to watch it, and my Uncle Lucian is over, right? And I love my Uncle Lucian, great guy, but he tells me, he says, oh, you've never seen it before? I said, no, I haven't seen Jaws before, and it's coming on tonight, and I'm very excited to see it. I can't wait to see Jaws, and he says, oh, man, you're going to be scared. And I was like, nah, I'm going to be fine. And then he says, yeah, and here's a spoiler alert. And he says, yeah, well, wait wait till you see it eat Robert Shaw. And I thought, did you just tell me something important about the movie? That one of the main characters is going to get eaten by the freaking shark? Thanks. Yeah. So the whole movie, I'm watching it, and as much as I'm enjoying it, and I enjoy it immensely, I am waiting for Robert Shaw to get eaten by the shark. And sure enough, he does. Oh, Robert Shaw. Bruce, name of the shark. They've got all those Jaws documentaries, right? There's the shark is still working. And I don't know what it is, but it seems like it's harder to get these documentaries about things out than it is to make the movie. Like, Jaws is one of those movies that was incredibly difficult to make, and they had all this difficulty. And anytime you're shooting on the water, it's a problem. And then the shark breaks down 800 times, and Steven Spielberg is really not very seasoned as a director. What does he have under his belt? He's got Sugarland Express and TV movies, one of which is Duel. And they look and they say, well, maybe we got to fire the Spielberg kid, you know. But then he hangs in, and it turns out wonderful, and it makes his career, you know, right there. Boom. And he's off to the races at that point. I totally lost what my point was about this. I don't know. Oh, my point was, yes, so all of that happens, right? All of this difficulty in making Jaws and getting it out there, and it all works out beautifully. But I do know that there's this documentary, The Shark is Still Working. Let me see if I can look this up. And I started hearing about this years ago. Years ago. And it's this documentary about the making of Jaws, and it was going to have interviews with everybody. And this is, you know, Roy Scheider is still alive, so at that time. And we're going to talk to Scheider, we're going to talk to Dreyfuss, we'll talk to Spielberg, it's going to be in-depth. And it took forever for that thing to come out. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It took forever. I think it came out like, I don't know. I want to say it took like 5 years. Maybe I'm totally off on that. But it was one of those things. I had those kids on. They made that Arrested Development documentary. It still isn't out yet. I talked to them years ago. Corey from Milwaukee, your thoughts?
Hello, Dan Delgado. How are you?
I am doing just fine. I got to turn you up a little bit. There you go.
How do I sound now?
Oh, just as lovely as ever, my friend.
Yeah, but I hear an echo.
You know, I tell you, this whole Skype thing, it just could kiss my ass. Echoes, echoes, echoes. I don't know what to do. I don't know, Corey.
Should I keep talking?
You sound fine on my end. I don't hear it, so.
I know, but it's weird because I like talking.
I know. It's hard to talk when you're getting yourself right back at you. Here, I'll tell you what. Call right back. Do that. Let's see if it clears it up.
Okay, I'll call you back.
All right. So Corey will call right back, and I will sit here and wait for that call, I guess. I guess that's what we're doing. Anyway, yeah, so where is that Arrested Development documentary? I interviewed the kids who are making this thing, I don't know, 2 years ago? How hard could it be? All right, Corey from Milwaukee.
Hello, Dan.
How we doing?
Better.
Okay, all right, yes, echo-free, yay!
Yay!
Well, for the moment. Go ahead. Spit it out before it comes back.
Dan, I'm having one of those moments where, my God, am I that old?
Yeah, Jaws
37 years ago?
37 years ago. Jaws enters your consciousness. That's correct. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. So a 37-year-old was born walking around, and, you know, oh, my gosh, I feel really old. I do remember Jaws, so much more about Jaws before I actually got to see it, because I was like 12 years old.
Okay, sounds about right.
We lived right near a mall. In fact, my school was near this mall. And the mall had a movie theater marquee on the outside near the road, okay? And I remember for a whole year, Jaws, the word Jaws being on this sign every day for over a year. And that had never happened before.
So you were really excited and curious as to what was coming.
Yeah, but my parents would not allow me to see that movie. In fact, I tried to get the babysitter to take me. She almost did until my mom foiled our plans and said, You can go to the mall, but you're seeing that movie.
Oh, man. Wow.
I know.
Was it? She thought it was too scary for you.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And probably she was right. I mean, going back in time, that was the equivalent of what does Auntie Bird call it? What's it? Porn, gore, what's it called? What's the category?
Torture porn, I think.
Torture porn. It was that equivalent, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, when you see somebody really get chewed up by a shark, it's pretty there. And, you know, interestingly enough, Jaws is rated to this day PG.
Wow, it's interesting.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
love that.
Violent when you consider, you know, what happens in that movie.
Yes.
But I'll never forget the first time I actually did see it in the theater. Most people had seen it already, and they're already talking to the screen, to the woman that gets in the water right at the beginning, and they're like, "Oh no!" You know.
Oh man, okay, so does that ruin it for you a little bit?
Well, they were all laughing.
Oh.
By the time you see it three times, you know that when she's riding around screaming.
Yeah.
Ah! You know,
yes.
It's kind of funny.
Right, yeah, at that point, it, you know, now it's kind of like a drinking game. You know, you sneak in a little booze, and all right, every time I hear the theme go, all right, take a shot, dun, dun, you know, sure.
Exactly. But how much of a nerd were you as a kid because you knew the actor's name? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
did you mean to tell me your cousin or uncle, whoever that was, that would spoil the movie for you? He didn't say the pirate dude on the step.
No, he distinctly said Robert Shaw, and I knew.
I didn't know who that was.
How did I know?
Yes.
Let's see, I probably knew Robert Shaw at that point from a movie called Force 10 from Navarone, and I don't know if I knew him from anything else. I probably had seen The Sting by then. He's in that. Yeah, I don't know.
But, I mean, even as a kid, you knew actors' names? That's crazy.
Yeah, the first year that I watched the Oscars is 1982, and I'm like 7 and a half, and I'm not even going to the movies at that point.
Wow, you are a real movie nerd.
I know.
I gotta admire that, man.
Yeah,
in
public, in like my daily life, when I talk to people, I tone it down a lot. Like I honestly will sometimes pretend to not know stuff so people think that I'm not like a weirdo.
Well, I did catch it, and I was like, wow, he must have been a really cool movie nerd. Anyway, my favorite Jaws quote is...
Yeah.
A doll's eyes. A eyes like a doll. A doll's eyes.
That's good, because nobody ever mentions that. That's great.
Oh, that's my favorite line. Because it was like that, because then they showed the doll's eyes. I'm like, oh!
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So huge, too, you know.
Yes.
And let's see, what else? And by the way, how is your wife, Jessica?
Jessica, she's just fine. She's great.
Would you please say hello to her for me? I miss her.
Absolutely. Between 10 and 11, I miss her, too. So, yes.
I wish you would make a spot appearance on your show.
You know,
I do miss the Jessica very much.
I will tell her. I will tell her to make a spot appearance.
Promise?
I promise. Absolutely. Yes, yes.
And then I'll try and love you, Dan Delgado.
I know.
But I still hate you.
It's not easy. Get out of here, Corey.
What?
Ah. Oh, man. Yeah, I guess I knew. I distinctly remember him saying Robert Shaw. Like, I can remember that conversation. Where do you see it eat Robert Shaw? Oh, Uncle Lucian. Why? Why did you do that? Anyway, just to show you how different things were, Jaws opens in 1975 to 409 theaters. 400. That's 1975. And if you want to have a comparison, and you should know this kind of thing already because I tell you this information on a weekly basis, right? But if I'm going to just take a look right now, let's take a look right now at the weekend chart. Let's see how many theaters, for example, Prometheus was in this week. 3,442. 3,442 Yeah. That's a big difference right there, my friends. Big difference. That's 1975 for you. Ah, the good old days. Back when I was almost 1 year old in June of 1975. Yes, yes, yes. The widest that Jaws goes is 675 screens. It opens with $7 million that weekend. That's really good, by the way, I gotta say. $7 million, 1975 dollars? What's that, like $100 million right now? It grosses $260 million in 1975. At the time, it is the number one box office champion. Fabulous. Okay. Anyway, moving on to other things. Let's get out of 1975, at least for a little while. Maybe we go back there later. I don't know. So I've got another one, but maybe I save that for a day in movie history tomorrow. Maybe I'll do this every day. I don't know. Quickly over to television, because this pertains to me, everybody, because I watch the Today Show every single morning and have done so for years and years. There was a period in the 1990s when I wasn't watching it, but yes, but I've been watching the Today Show in the morning for the most part for a very long time. And now, the team is breaking up, it seems. Apparently, Ann Curry is set to leave the Today Show, and Savannah Guthrie is the likely replacement. Oh, this is just always how it is. If you're at the news desk, you're going to be next in line to the throne. Ann Curry, she's only been there a little over a year. It was the last year that Meredith Vieira left the Today Show to do I don't really know what. But to do other things. Good for you, because I didn't really like Meredith Vieira that much. But, you know, I didn't hate her. She never was enough for me to change the channel. So I was fine with Meredith Vieira. But when she left and Ann Curry got the job, I said, okay, fine. Because Ann Curry would sit at the news desk and would seem very smart. Because she's reporting news and only news. And she seems very serious. Today in Iran, things happened. And over in Afghanistan, something exploded and something important happened at Congress today. She would say the news. You sound smart when you're just reading the news. And if you're able to say things and speak, wow, that person can speak in complete sentences. And she's saying things that matter. Once she got into the host role, oh, wait a second. I see. This is an entirely different set of skill set. I'm sorry. This is an entirely different skill set that is needed than what is needed for the news desk. Yes, yes. Just because you could be competent or seem competent doing the news does not, my friend, does not mean that you are qualified to be a co-host on the Today Show. No, 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 no. Because I will tell you that Ann Curry is a terrible, terrible host. She makes so many mistakes. Is a terrible interviewer. Oh, wow. She is probably the worst host I've ever seen on the Today Show. And you know, she's been there a very long time. She's been there like 14 years or something, 15 years or something like this. I don't know. I'm honestly not sure how long she's been there. But I can tell you this. She stinks. She makes numerous mistakes every single day. She stumbles over words all the time. And when it comes to just having little banter back and forth with Matt Lauer or with Al Roker, this is not difficult. But obviously, not everybody has that in them. Because even though Ann Curry's been on live television for years, she can't seem to get it down. She's still fumbling over her words. So anyway, she's on the outs. And NBC, though, they want to keep her. Apparently it's Ann's decision. She's decided to split. Maybe she knows. Maybe someone has told her every night. Oh, I don't know if you know. Ann, I saw you. You were terrible. I'm sorry. I don't know about if you know that. You stink. Right? Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, so Savannah Guthrie is the likely successor. She's the news anchor. She's the co-host of the 9 a.m. hour of today, which I did not know until I read this article. I did not know that there was a transition that happened. Because I'm working by the time 9 o'clock rolls around. So for me, it's all like, oh, whatever. Thank goodness I'm working by the time. Whenever that 18th hour of the Today Show that happens with Kathy Lee and Hoda, thank goodness I'm nowhere near a television. I am very appreciative of that. I'm going to end up tossing something and breaking my nice television. I don't want that to happen. But anyway, so this will take place, though, sooner than later, before the Olympics. That's when they want this to happen. They want it to happen before the Olympics, that Curry is out and that Guthrie will be in. And I presume it's Savannah Guthrie. And sure, fine. Savannah Guthrie, sure, bring it on, babe. Lay it on me. Don't stink it up like Ann Curry. I'm sure you'll do all right. You're already co-hosting the 9 a.m. hour. How difficult could it be to move down to 7 and not have to do all that newsy news stuff? Yesterday, before I ended the show, I talked about how Harry Potter is the Antichrist in Alan Moore's latest graphic novel. Oh, my goodness! Alan Moore, you know, he wrote you things like V for Vendetta, From Hell, Watchmen, all that good stuff, right? Well, he's got a new graphic novel that's out. It's called The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Century 2009. You know, from his League of Extraordinary Gentlemen line. Okay? So... oh, man. I tell you, this sounds just unbelievably great, all right? Now, in The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, he always is bringing up literary characters. Captain Nemo, Dr. Jekyll, Dracula, things like that. Okay. But now he's bringing in Harry freaking Potter as an antichrist. Now, I can tell you he's not going to be using that name, because unlike Captain Nemo and Dr. Jekyll and Dracula, who were all written eons ago, and I'm sure all of that work is in the public domain or something along these lines. So yeah, you could go ahead and grab those characters and run willy-nilly with them. Here's the deal. His name never appears, but there's all kinds of references that would let you know. First of all, you could look at the way the guy's drawn. Some nerdy-looking dude with glasses. No, it's not me as a kid. It looks like more like Harry Potter. Although I guess there is a bit of a similarity there. I guess maybe if Harry Potter had more of a Puerto Rican look, then that would be me. Okay. He's got a hidden scar. There's a magical train between platforms at London's King Cross Station and the magical school that the train goes to. There's a mentor that's called Riddle. Although we all know by now that Tom Riddle in the Harry Potter books ultimately becomes Voldemort. Now, if Harry Potter is the Antichrist, then Voldemort was right all this time. How do you like that? And apparently we're also getting characters that resemble both Ron Weasley and Hermione Granger. And at one point, Harry Potter kills someone with a lightning bolt from his flaccid penis. Did everybody get that? Did everybody hear what I said? Harry Potter is going to shoot a lightning bolt out of his flaccid penis. Yeah. Uh-huh. So right now, J.K. Rowling, author of the Harry Potter books, and Warner Brothers, they are sitting there and they're waiting to see. They're waiting for this to come out and waiting with lawyers. I'm sure. There's a bunch of lawyers sitting there saying, oh, once this thing hits the stands, oh, then we'll see. Mm-hmm. All of this comes to us courtesy of a reviewer who had gotten an advanced copy of the book. Sounds like fun, though, doesn't it? Come on. Who doesn't want to see Harry Potter shoot freaking thunderbolts? Oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean thunder. I'm sorry. Lightning bolts. From his flaccid penis. Sorry about that. Was it last week that I had several stories about this Big Brother glass house fight? Right? You guys heard me talk about this. CBS, who is the network that gives us the craptacular show Big Brother every year. They spend $8 on that show, so it's very profitable, and they put it on every freaking year. bunch of jerks live in a house, and they bicker, and they kick somebody out, and whatever, and they got cameras everywhere. Okay, fine, whatever. Whatever, CBS, you can do whatever you want. Well, CBS got pissy because ABC Network came up with Glass House, which is a version of Big Brother, basically, except the difference is it has a social networking aspect. You make the call. You can go ahead and vote on certain things, and they will do what you want. Hey, man, I want the fat guy to kiss the hot chick. You know, you can go ahead, and if that's something that comes up, well, then you can vote on that. Now, CBS got pissy. They said, hey, man, you're ripping off our crappy reality show. How dare you do such a thing? How dare you? So they went ahead, and they tried to stop Glass House from airing on ABC. They went ahead and filed injunctions and held up picket signs and held their breath until they turned blue. But it didn't matter. Usually, as is always the case, it doesn't matter. Just like Bill Murray says in Meatballs, it just doesn't matter. That's right, because that crap ended up airing anyway. And what happened? Nobody watched it. It got terrible ratings. Glass House. So you think CBS would say, well, I guess we should probably just sit back and relax now that Glass House came out and got terrible ratings, and we can laugh at them, and that's what we'll do. But instead of doing that, no, CBS actually went ahead and bothered to make up a fake press release announcing a reality show that rips off one of ABC's reality shows. It's not real, it's a joke. It's just them being pissy. CBS announces development of Dancing on the Stars, an exciting and completely original reality program that owes its concept and execution to nobody at all. And then there's this three-paragraph... This is a long-ass press release. I was actually going to read it, but I don't think I'm going to now. Subsequent to recent developments in the creative and legal community, CBS Television Today felt it was appropriate to reveal the upcoming launch of an exciting, groundbreaking, and completely original reality program for the CBS Television Network. The new dazzling show, Dancing on the Stars, will broadcast live from the Hollywood Forever Cemetery and will feature moderately famous and sort of well-known people you almost recognize competing for big prizes by dancing on the graves of some of Hollywood's most iconic and beloved stars of stage and screen. And it goes on from there. And it's supposed to be funny. And really, CBS, you just seem like you're pissy. Let it go. Nobody cares. Nobody cares that much that you had to go ahead and come up with some silly press release to show how clever you are. Nobody cared that much. This is just an interesting story if you had been able to prevent that other show from airing. Then it would be really interesting. Otherwise, it's one crap show complaining about another crap show. Really, what we should be doing as the viewers is having an injunction against CBS from airing Big Brother ever again. That's what we really should be doing here. Dancing on the Stars. Hilarious! I'm sure whoever's writing 2.5 Men came up with this nonsense. Did I mention that Harry Potter kills somebody with a lightning bolt from his flaccid penis? Let's spoil Prometheus a little bit. We're going to do that right now. So here's your advance warning. If you haven't seen Prometheus, you may want to turn away. Because one of the things that's in that movie that people are complaining about, and I would throw my name on the list here, right, is that there's a point in the movie, and here's where all the spoiling comes in, where the engineer, and that's what he's... I don't know, that's what they're calling him. This alien guy that they find still alive, sleeping. He's a big old giant dude, right? And he's stuck in one of those sleep pods. And they wake him up, thinking that he might have secrets to the universe. And it's the big pivotal point in the film, right? So they go and they wake him up, And the robot, David, played by Michael Fassbender, is the only person who speaks to him. And he speaks something in a language that doesn't make any sense, but he's able to have figured out a way to communicate with the engineer. The engineer listens to what David has to say and proceeds to go bananas and start killing everybody and start throwing it. And since he's a big old giant, you better watch out. You know, you might want to run away once this starts happening. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that nobody knows what David said to the engineer. And it's a little frustrating. And apparently, at first, they were going to put subtitles on the screen. That's what the screenwriter, Damon Lindelof of Lost fame, has said. Well, we were going to do that. But Ridley Scott said not to. Because I don't know why. Well, let's leave it a little ambiguous. Shut up, Ridley Scott. Just tell us what he said. Okay. So if you want to know what he said, well then, I will go ahead and tell you. David says to the engineer, now keep in mind at this point, he's there with Guy Pearce wearing a lot of old man makeup, and Guy Pearce is a super billionaire, and he's really old, and the reason he's there is because he doesn't want to die. He wants to keep living. So if he has to fly all the way to some other universe to meet some giant alien to prolong his life, he's willing to do it, and obviously he can afford it. So David says to him, "This man is here because he does not want to die. He believes you can give him more life." That's it. That's all he says. Boom. Now, originally when they filmed it, it's a longer conversation. The two of them talk for a few minutes, and then the alien goes bananas. But they decided to cut it all down. But now we know exactly what happened. Now we have the translation. And this translation, by the way, is courtesy of Dr. Anil Biltu. He was a consultant on the movie. He was a linguistic consultant, so he would know. Mm-hmm. That's right. Apparently, there is a longer version, and we do know that there is a super director's cut that's going to be coming out on DVD that will have another 20 to 30 minutes of deleted scenes or some nonsense like this. So if you want to see the full conversation between the engineer and David, you will have to wait until then. I don't think anybody's going to say anything more about it, but at least now we know what David said. "This man is here because he does not want to die. He believes you can give him more life." Is that what he thinks? "Now I'm going to kill everybody. You woke me up for this. Die, robot. I rip your head off." All right. Here's something I think is a little interesting. All right, one of the movies that I'm really looking forward to this year is Looper. I don't know if everybody has seen this trailer. It stars Joseph Gordon-Levitt. It stars Bruce Willis. They are playing the same person. The idea in the movie Looper is that Joseph Gordon-Levitt lives in, I believe, the present day. And what he does is, this is a great job. This is a great job. Time travel is real and is possible. But it's only used in, it's kind of a black market thing. And what the mafia does is when they want someone to disappear for good, they send him back in time. They take him out to a field, and then they send him through the time machine. He goes back 30 years, right? And where he ends up, 30 years. All right, we're out in this field, and now you're in the time machine. And now you come out, and you're still in the same field, but it's 30 years earlier. But 30 years earlier, what's waiting for you? A guy with a gun. Wait, that was wrong. A guy with a gun. There you go. So then you get shot, and not only are you shot and killed, but you're killed 30 years in the past. No one's finding your body, and if they do, they're not going to know who you are, because you don't look the same. Or maybe you're not even born yet. Mm-hmm. So Joseph Gordon-Levitt is a contract killer. He's sitting there in a field waiting for people to show up. The older version of himself, though, ends up getting sent back in time. He's played by Bruce Willis, who says that Looper is the best movie he's ever done. I have read this. Interesting. But the reason I'm bringing up Looper today is that I love this. there will be a more Shanghai-centric version of the movie that will be released in China. That's right, China. You're getting a movie that's it's going to play to the home crowd. See, here's what they did. Originally in the script, they were going to have a number of scenes set in Paris. But the location was changed to Shanghai in order to entice China into letting them show the movie, to distribute the movie in that country. Come on, you got 2 billion people. You know they like going to the movies. We put a couple of scenes in Shanghai. You watch it over there, and everybody's going to go, oh, look, he's over by, you know, Uncle Chang's bodega. I go there all the time. I get noodles there. You know, people high-five each other. Yeah, I go there too, right? Well, problem is that after they went ahead and made the movie, though all those scenes in Shanghai, they got cut. Yeah. The director, Ryan Johnson, said, it's slowing down the movie. It ruins the pace of the film. Got to take them out. That's fine. Okay. Hey, I understand. Not everything goes in. You get a little extra something on the DVD. That's how it works. And I'm totally in favor of this. However, if you still want to distribute to China, well, I guess you want to play to the home crowd. So those scenes are going back in, but only for the Chinese release. It's really funny to me. It's really funny. It's almost like the movie is going to say, at some, they're just going to stop the movie and they're going to say, hey, what's up, Shanghai? Hey, everybody. Everybody in a Shanghai movie theater will drop their popcorn in shock and start cheering. Yeah! Yeah, Bruce Willis! That's great. How come this hasn't happened for Boca Raton? Huh? When does that happen? When does somebody want to play to the old people audience? Huh? Jim Carrey has left the Dumb and Dumber sequel. Now what are we going to do? According to ET Online, Carrey has decided to not reprise his role as Lloyd Christmas. And this is as bananas and stupid of a reason as I've heard. He was reportedly frustrated, that's in quotes, by the way, frustrated by the lack of enthusiasm on the part of Warner Brothers. I would have thought Dumb and Dumber 2, and by the way, 2 is spelled T-O, was a no-brainer. After all, it's implied in the title. Hey-o. Original writer-directors Peter and Bobby Farrelly were going to produce and direct the sequel with Sean Anders and John Morris co-writing the script. Okay? But now that Jim Carrey has left it, I'm going to guess that derails everything, right? You're not going to make a Dumb and Dumber sequel without Jim Carrey. Yeah, okay, maybe you would make a Dumb and Dumber prequel without Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels. That's fine. Oh, man. That happened, right? They really made that? Somebody decided, yeah, we're going to do this prequel to Dumb and Dumber. We're going to have nobody from the movie, from Dumb and Dumber involved here. But we're going to make this prequel anyway. Yeah, go ahead, do that. Anyway. So Jim Carrey has left because, I don't know, people at Warner Brothers didn't jump up and down when they found out that this was being made. Nobody was doing somersaults when Jim Carrey walked in the door and told everybody, that's right, Lloyd Christmas is coming back. People didn't jump up. Oh, my God, really? Yes! They didn't high-five like the people in Shanghai are going to high-five when they see Uncle Chan's bodega. Nuh-uh. Didn't happen. And they said, oh, yeah, well, that's very good, Mr. Carrey. We're happy to see you back on board. All right, now we've got some numbers to crunch here, boys. And they went back to business. And Jim Carrey says, what? You can't do that. You need to fall down at my feet. Sorry, Jim. They're not falling down at your feet. And obviously, you don't need the money. I remember he got, I want to say, $7 million. And it was a big deal. $7 million for Dumb and Dumber. What's going on here? Sean O'Reilly, Brazilian Hello. Male. What's up?
Well, Yeah. I was listening to your show, and you talk about the Jim Carrey that have left the Dumb and Dumb. How is the name in English? Here in Brazil, it's Deb and Lloyd. Lloyd.
Oh, is that right? It's Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber. In Brazil, it is Deb and Lloyd. It look like Deb Lloyd. Deb Lloyd means somebody retarded.
Okay, very good. Yes. Yes, so yeah, he has left the sequel to that film. How do you feel about this, Mr. O'Reilly?
It's sad because I like Jim Carrey, but I'm not a fanatic about Jim Carrey. I like him. It's my favorite actor. But maybe I can understand his decision. I don't know. I know that I don't know too much information about it. But
yes, yeah.
I generally see Jim Carrey like a very generous guy. Well, at least it seemed to me. But maybe he was. I have seen that he is a guy that like to do things with a very great enthusiasm. When I see some of his movie, I always go to the making of section to see what he says. Mm-hmm. And he always looks like very enthusiastic about the job that he did. And what I read about his decision was that he was feeling lack of enthusiasm from Warner Brothers.
That's it. Yes, you're correct. Mm-hmm. That's what I've been reading too.
And maybe it can demotivate somebody, a person like him. I'm just calling to tell that maybe he have to be understood. But I know everybody has their opinion, and
so you're kind of understanding his point of view here. You're kind of saying, "Well, I could see why he might do this."
Yeah,
I see. All right,
but Dan,
yes,
I think I have called your show 3 years ago, isn't it?
Yes, you did, and you speak much better English, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Yes,
I have improved. I got a job in the United States at Disney.
What? Really? At Disney World in Orlando?
No, it's not on the park. It's on the ship at Disney Cruise Line.
Oh, my goodness. Wait, is it the one is it still out of Florida? Is it out of Vero Beach?
Yeah, the port, the port home of call.
Yes.
That the ship port is in Port Canaveral. It's a
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yep. I know exactly where that is.
It's close to the Orlando.
Yeah.
And I don't work exactly on the United States because I am on the ship, and the ship go around some places, Mexico, Bahamas.
So basically, they keep you on the ship, is what you're saying. All right, you can work on the ship, but don't get off. Don't be stepping around. Don't be walking around Cocoa Beach.
Sometimes we have, when the ship is ported, sometimes we have time to go out and go out the ship and just explore.
Okay, all right.
See some stuff.
Yeah, all right, Mr. O'Reilly. I am out of time. I'm about to get cut off here, so I got to let you go. But thanks for the call. Call back again. All right.
Okay. Tomorrow I call again.
Sure.
Because I think I have some important to tell, maybe some contribution about why people are shy to call the show. I keep wondering about it.
Yes,
so I'd like to talk about it.
All right.
If I have time, and it's not a promise.
Okay. All right. Have a good night, sir.
Okay. See.
There you go. I had to let him go. I'm out of time. I'm probably off. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening to Radio Dan Show. Back again tomorrow. Say good night, Dan. Good night, Dan.
Yamma, 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 yamma. Whoopee doo, Scooby doo, and gobbledygook.